8126.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Each and every show we go inside the Beltway with the true insiders from Talk Radio News, Victoria Jones in the wings. Boy, we wish we had a giant cup of tea to give her because she's really, really, really dedicated. You can hear in her throat a little bit of a frog as she's running around Washington covering all the comings and goings, including the three-term Republican Senator Olympia Snowe decides she's not going to run for re-election. Hey, Victoria, thanks for being such a trooper. And I bet there was some buzz over Snowe deciding not to run again.
Huge buzz. Because on the one hand, people are saying, oh, well, this is the seat the Democrats can pick up. But on the other hand, there's only 2 weeks till the filing date. And who's going to run? And it's a state that's been trending Republican. So I don't think it's quite as much of a slam dunk as some people are saying.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Absolutely. And I know you're obviously watching because we're all trailing what's going on with 2012 and the road to the Republican convention in Tampa and then the Democrats in Charlotte, of course. But isn't it interesting? Romney picks up Arizona, but it's pretty tight with this whole Michigan battle. And a lot of people feel that if Romney can't even get Michigan, how great of a candidate would he be? And I know that you were talking about this in D.C.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a really hot topic today in D.C. You know, the question is, okay, so if he pulls out a win in Michigan and it's a really tight win, so he can go around and say, I've won, but really in your home state you win by 1 or 2 points, what does that mean? It doesn't mean an awful lot. Then if Santorum wins by a little bit, he wins with Democrats? Really? What does that mean?
Yeah, that's what I would say. I would start to come up with a new strategy, I guess. I can only imagine that they're huddled somewhere in some donut shop off of the main area where they would ultimately come through and give the speech of, oh, thank you so much, I appreciate the votes, or we're going to go get them next time because Super Tuesday is coming up. But we'll be following that, as you will be.
I think there were some serious huddles going on among the Republican establishment about a possible Santorum win. I mean, I think they are very worried about this and, and starting to have that conversation about who can we draft, because I don't think that they want him as a candidate.
No, I agree with you. I'm seeing brokered convention, and I'm so excited that America Tonight is going to be there, and I know you'll be there too, because I think that actually that will add to what we're going to see in Florida.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so in the meantime, the president had his own agenda on the day, and it was something I wasn't even aware of. What's going on with this civilian investigating potential happenings with terrorism? I mean, it doesn't even make sense to me. I don't even know what it's about.
Well, this has to do with the Defense Authorization Bill, which was signed last year. And when he signed it on December the 31st, he issued a signing statement. And if you remember, there was a lot of fuss about military trials or civilian trials and U.S. citizens and non-U.S. citizens and things like this and transferring detainees from Guantanamo and mm-hmm. things like that. It was the same old story. Well, he issued a very strong signing statement basically saying, yeah, but, you know, I'm going to do what I want, really. And so he has. What he's done is he's issued an order, which he had to do because he had to implement the bill. But he's issued an order giving civilian investigators broad power to handle cases of U.S. terrorism suspects and basically saying that civilian investigators will do this. It won't be military tribunals. And he preserves for the FBI and other civilian authorities the leading role in handling terrorism arrests in the U.S., not people who are grabbed overseas. Military detention would be an option in limited cases, largely at the discretion of the Attorney General and federal investigators. And this interpretation is of this waiver authority, which he had to interpret, but the way he's done it, this is going to clash with the wishes of the senators who made the deal with him, and that was bipartisan, and with the Republican candidates who are going to jump on this like white on rice.
Yeah, absolutely. Now it's pretty crystal clear now that you explained it. Controversial right out of the gate anyway, and now I think he's in big trouble on that issue. We're going to see that the rest of this week and heading into Super Tuesday. That is going to be a lot of the sound bites that come out of any of the Republicans' mouths, and I'm certain of it. Another big story that just broke in the Washington Post, Dover Air Force Base, it seems that there's more remains. This time, this is a real shocker. When America hears this, they're going to be stunned. What did they find?
Yeah, as you know, we've been, you know, the Washington Post has done this investigation of Dover Air Force Base, which disclosed that for years they were disposing of incinerated portions of remains of troops killed in Iraq and Afghanistan in the Virginia landfill. And the practice involved the unidentified or unclaimed body parts, and it was not made known to troops' family members. Well, now they're publishing tonight that some small portions of unidentified human remains recovered from the September 11th terrorist attacks on the Pentagon and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, were incinerated and dumped in a landfill, the Defense Department acknowledged today.
Ooh, wow. What's going on at Dover? I mean, that's the question you got to ask yourself. What's going on there? Heads have to roll as a result of what initially was discovered.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that they fixed everything and people have been, you know, that those who needed to be dealt with have been dealt with and have been moved and all this kind of thing because they've had a review. They've had, they've had any number of reviews. There's a new Defense Department review out today which reveals that several portions of remains ended up in a landfill. And it was done by retired Army General John Abizade. Didn't quantify how many human remains from September 11 were disposed of, but it said they couldn't be tested or identified. But nevertheless, it did happen. It's the kind of thing that's just, frankly, astonishing. They did change their policy in 2008. Since then, they've been burying unclaimed or unidentified cremated remains at sea. But it's astonishing.
Yeah, that's the only thing you can say about that story. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thanks so much. We appreciate it. You feel better.
Thank you.
Coming up a little bit later here on America Tonight, more on the Dover dumpster. Absolutely outrageous, I think. If you're somebody who lost a loved one on Flight 93 that went down in Shanksville, it has to really upset you to no end. I understand when there's a blast, what we're talking about, the minuscule parts, but would it have been easier to not turn it into medical waste and get rid of it by incinerating it and not somehow coming up with a better way for a burial? Seems that it would be pretty easy to me, and the Pentagon really, really didn't want to have to release an 86-page report that had this listed on it. For, of course, fear, I don't know if it's fear, but for the blowback they knew that they would get as a result of it. And now, as Victoria just mentioned, it's changed the way that the remains are disposed of. It would be dumped at sea, basically. So the Dover dumping, sadly, at the tail end of the hour, we'll be diving into that. Mitt Romney picks up Michigan and Arizona. How huge. 29 delegates in Arizona, winner takes all. Michigan, a little bit different because you're talking about it's based on congressional districts, so two delegates for each congressional district that you win. But Mitt Romney clearly with over 41%. Rick Santorum, very close, 36-37. Still, Romney wins overall, winning that all-important home state, because what would it have meant if Mitt Romney had not won Michigan? We're going to talk about that next on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open-pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
So the president wanted to make his presence felt on a day when the Republicans were trying to pick up some delegates in Arizona and in Michigan. Michigan, most important, though, because it was the birthplace of Mitt Romney. His father was governor there, and yada, yada, yada. All the talking heads, wah, 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 went on and on about how Romney had to win his own state, which I think I was one of those talking heads. You have to win your home state. If I was running, for example, and I didn't pick up New Jersey, do you give me big hopes for being a fantastic president, clearing the board on the way to the Republican red carpet in Tampa? The answer is nah. You're going to question that a little bit. So Mitt Romney answered the question, and President Obama decided that he would let his presence be known. He took a couple of swipes at Mitt Romney in front of the auto workers in Washington on Tuesday, and it was the same day, as I said, that Romney was fighting for air in Michigan, so it was well-timed. He said when he was talking about the campaign, what he did was when he stepped up to the microphone, you know, people were screaming, four more years. So he let that roll on a little bit. I happen to see a little clip of that. And in the speech a couple of times, you know, what he said, he made references to Romney back in 2008 where he said, let Detroit go bankrupt. Then the president used that title and repeated a line from a piece that Mitt Romney wrote in the New York Times where he said, you can kiss the American automotive industry goodbye. See, this is vintage what you're going to see on the campaign trail. The people around Obama aren't stupid. I've said this over and over again. Neither are the other campaign people, by the way, that surround a few of the candidates on the Republican side. So they're going to pluck out things that have been said in the past, Romney did not win the nomination in 2008, as you all know. Senator John McCain did, so it was vintage Obama, and he was able to hammer it home in front of all of these auto workers that he was talking to on the very day where Romney was trying desperately to win Michigan, which he did. He said it was a great victory, while Rick Santorum, who was right on his heels, called it a great night. Take a listen to Mitt Romney.
Okay, first thank you was the first state to call it. Thank you, Arizona. Great victory in Arizona tonight. And thank you, Michigan. What a win. This is a big night. Thanks, you guys. Special thank you to Governor Jan Brewer there and Senator John McCain. They were tireless, particularly John McCain. He's been all over the country helping. What a hero. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Governor. I believe this is a time that requires real leadership in our country. Times are tough. We need leaders who will live with integrity, who have the courage to tell the truth, and have the experience to get our economy back on track. He thinks he deserves a second term. He says we can't wait, to which I say, oh, yes, we can.
All right, he says, oh, yes, we can. In the meantime, Rick Santorum also feels like he can and thought that he got pretty close to the boy from Michigan.
Are we a country that believes in big government? Do we believe in the smart and elite in this country to manage us? Or do you believe in free people and a free economy and building a great America from the bottom up? What do you say? We came into the backyard of one of my opponents in a race that everyone said, well, just ignore, you have really no chance here. And the people of Michigan looked into the hearts of the candidates, and all I have to say is, I love you back. Thank you.
Wow, pretty loud crowd there. And so overall, if you look at the delegate count, you know, it's different in a couple of different polls that I've seen. But my count, I've got Mitt Romney now at 157, Rick Santorum 77, Newt Gingrich at 32, and Ron Paul 19. Remember the magical number to unlock the door to all the riches of running against the man who occupies 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue wearing the Republican card. You need 1,144 delegates to do that. So it's still a wild chase to get the delegates. Super Tuesday couldn't be bigger. We know this. We've talked about this a ton. And with some well-placed barbs from the Prez, you look at the independents, and then you look at these crazy swing states, and you have to wonder, what's going to happen. And I would say what's going to happen is if it's Mitt Romney, the Democrats really, really want him. They don't want to hear and see signs that say anybody but Mitt. They don't want to possibly hear of a brokered convention, because I think the Democrats believe it's a layup if it's Mitt Romney, because they will pluck out every single quote they can, just like happened earlier in the day. It's vintage. The president can then say to the auto workers, you know what, if we had turned our backs on you, if America had thrown in the towel, GM and Chrysler would have gone under, which, of course, they did not. So it's an easy thing to push. They can keep pricking the finger of the Romney campaign, and that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a slow bleed, though, over time. Romney didn't have a strong standing in Michigan, but he still got away with the win. He still got away with the win over Rick Santorum, who was the closest to him. I gave you the delegate count for what it's worth. I think the more important thing to talk about, and what's going to be interesting as we watch this play out, as the circus goes to yet another town, another city, another state, as people were leaving the polling places in Michigan, voters certainly seemed to be kind of lackluster, didn't have a lot of enthusiasm about their choices. 45% say they strongly favor the candidate they voted for. Okay, 45%. What about the other numbers? 38% had reservations. That's not good. So it's like, yeah, I'm not really sure. I guess I'll go for Romney. 16% made the choice because they didn't like the alternative. So that's not a pretty picture, my friends, at all for the situation for the Republicans. And the longer this goes on, I think that it becomes more dangerous as to who is going to have the ultimate job of trying to torpedo the Prez, who's got the the winds of being an incumbent in his sails. And unless gas cripples him, he'll have other numbers that I think he'll be able to throw out there. Even with the unemployment number over 8%, gas is going to be now the trump card. What happens with gasoline? There are some places where they're reporting $5 for a gallon of regular. I said this before, it hit six, it hit seven, forget it. Seven, and he's a goner. Because the picture of what does the president have to do with gas prices, or what do you want us to drill down and make them lower, that's not going to fly. It's just not going to wash. So that will be the trump card for the Republican if, in fact, it goes that high, unless they trip over worse economic numbers, although that seems very, very doubtful. But the Michigan loss would have been embarrassing and would have pushed more money, and I think it still will push some money, in the direction of Rick Santorum, who is behind in delegates, but he's got some momentum heading into key states where they're casting ballots on Super Tuesday in a week. Super Tuesday, after all I've said about it, is a week away. So this time next week, we're going to be going state by state by state. Remember, there's 10 states at stake. So this is the thing. This is the thing I think that Michigan shows. The people of Michigan are tired of the same old negativity. And a lot of money was spent by the Romney campaign to just poke and prod and slam opponents, mostly Rick Santorum. In fact, everything was pretty much thrown the way of Santorum in Michigan, and I don't know that that worked with the people there. I don't know that they signed off on that idea. That's why you get the numbers of, geez, I have reservations. Oh, I just had to make the choice because I don't like the alternative. I sort of felt okay about who I'm choosing. Sort of isn't good enough. You got to fire the passions up in these people, and especially when you're involved in the race to get the nomination. That's where it starts. You need the backing, you need the grassroots. If Romney had some of those younger, enthusiastic future voters, because they will vote in this next election, who were out there just thumping it for him, what a difference that would make. That's what Obama had the last time around. That made a huge difference for him. Because Romney is the outsider. Romney was a governor of Massachusetts and a successful businessman, but he wasn't a Washingtonian, and that's pretty obvious. So the grassroots rallying those kind of people would help him, but I don't see how he does it with some of the statements that he's made, like, I love NASCAR, I'm friendly with some of the owners. You're not connecting on the grassroots level. That's the big fear for Romney as the bottom drops out. He goes off script and he gets in trouble. Speaking of scripts, we're going to Hollywood next. Conversation with Stephen Showhead.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgeez, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
These are strange days indeed, from economic turmoil to weather-related events, and yes, even power outages. Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Let me tell you why I use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergency preparedness and outdoor use. Their entrees like pasta Alfredo, savory stroganoff, and apple cinnamon cereal carry a 25-year shelf life and are prepared in minutes simply by adding water. They even provide great-tasting a la carte items like freeze-dried fruits, vegetables and desserts to ensure that you have more nutrition and energy when you need it most. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample and see for yourself why they are the best in the business. For a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 1-855-FOODWISE and be sure to mention the promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Powerful forces are trying to destroy your health. It's a fact that we're surrounded by a sea of environmental toxins, from mercury in vaccines and dental fillings, to aluminum in chemtrails, to pesticides and toxic chemicals sprayed all over our food. Even nuclear radiation, which is still spewing out of Fukushima, has contaminated the water and food supply in the U.S. But there is a solution. Liquid Zeolite is an extraordinary natural formula which safely and effectively removes all kinds of toxins from the body, including capturing heavy metals, pesticides, viruses, and radioactive particles. Use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com for fatigue, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, and joint pain. Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee and is available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. 100% safe, 100% amazing. Try Liquid Zeolite today.
So tonight, enjoy yourselves, because nothing can take the sting out of the world's economic problems like watching millionaires present each other with golden statues.
Billy Crystal, the host of the Oscars just a couple of days ago, pretty good ratings for those Oscars, and it was kind of a lighter version, a friendlier version of what we've seen in the last couple of years. I think my favorite speech was probably Meryl Streep's, and that's because I'm a Jersey girl, and she's a Jersey girl. And her last line is one that I've overused way too many times. We'll see if you can pick up the word that she uses. But here's what she had to say when she won for Best Actress.
When they called my name, I had this feeling I could hear half of America going, oh, no. Oh, come on, why? Her. Again. You know? But whatever.
Whatever. I can't tell you how many times I've been bagged for saying that word. All right, I would never use that word to describe our next guest, our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohead. He joins us each and every week here on America Tonight. We're lucky to have him. He's a great storyteller. It's a big night. The Oscars are Hollywood's biggest night. Stephen, how are you?
Hey, great, Kate. How are you?
Good. The Oscars, what do you think? In a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, what would you give it?
About 7.5. I really enjoyed it, actually. Of course, I kept thinking about last year and comparing it. I mean, little things they did I thought were better. Like when they had the nominees, for example, those little 30-second comments that each nominee was making about what they were trying to do in regards to sound and makeup and costumes. You know, I think that made it more interesting. And I think the interviewing the actors about their favorite films and stuff, like Reese Witherspoon saying Overboard with Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn was her favorite film. I enjoyed that. You know, Billy Crystal, I don't enjoy everything he says. I'm a very conservative Republican. And like one of his jokes about the crack addict and the dark night, you'll get that on Super Tuesday. I couldn't understand what he meant by that. You know, I mean, who's he talking about? But the one thing about him is he's a pro. He's got that sort of Johnny Carson way of, no matter what happens, even if he tells a joke that's not good, that falls flat, he never loses the show. I mean, last year you could see, like, James Franco, he just gave up. But Billy Crystal, he never loses control. He keeps it going. He's very talented at what he does. I mean, he's getting a lot of criticism for the Sammy Davis Jr. skit. But, I mean, I don't think he was trying to downgrade Sammy Davis Jr. I think they were friends, and he used to do that in the 80s on Saturday Night Live. So, I think people, in my opinion anyway, are making too big of a deal about that. And then, I thought all four of the actors were pretty classy. See who won. I thought Meryl Streep, I mean, the great thing about her personally for me is she's not full of herself, and she could be, because she arguably has the most successful acting actress career. You can even argue acting career. I mean, who's been nominated 17 times? I mean, it's just incredible. And she doesn't seem arrogant at all. Now, with that said, I was thinking maybe she should say something about Margaret Thatcher. And mm-hmm. one of Margaret Thatcher's aides came out and said that she should say something about Margaret Thatcher, and that the Margaret Thatcher aide did not like the movie at all, The Iron Lady, saying that the movie was more about Meryl Streep than it was about Margaret Thatcher, that Margaret Thatcher could not have survived 6 months if she would have acted like she did in the movie, and that they're so focused on the dementia and the Alzheimer's, and that's not a good way to make money. So certainly, I mean, there's controversies involved with the Oscars, and I think it's almost impossible to do the Oscars now without some kind of controversy.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Were you surprised that Viola Davis didn't win, though, for The Help? I mean, you saw what happened with Octavia, of course, for the supporting actress, which was exciting, and that was in the very beginning of the Oscars telecast. But were you surprised that it was Streep or nah?
Well, just a little bit, but not shy. I don't think it's ever a shock with Meryl Streep winning an Oscar. I mean, even though she hasn't won one since 1982, I mean, it's a mild surprise, just because, I picked Viola Davis, so I got it wrong, but I'm not Nostradamus. I usually go by the Screen Actors Guild Awards.
Yeah.
And, you know, they pick something, so I say, oh yeah, this person's going to win. I think that's just the best odds. So it was just a little bit of a surprise. But I mean, and certainly Viola Davis was probably disappointed. And Meryl Streep announced today that she's donating, she didn't announce it actually, but she's donating $20,000 to some of Viola Davis's charities. So maybe Meryl, felt a little bad that she beat her. And, you know, of course, they were co-stars before in the movie Doubt. And Viola Davis did a great job in that movie. I mean, her performance wasn't as flashy as Octavia Spencer's, but she sort of carried the movie the whole way through with a more low-key, understated performance. Traditionally, the Oscar voters do like the showier, flashier performances. It reminds me of when James Cameron was trying to woo Leonardo DiCaprio to be in Titanic. DiCaprio resisted the role at first, and Cameron confronted him and said, I know what you want. You want to play him with a limp. You want to play him with a hunchback. Well, you know, it's a lot harder to play the Jimmy Stewart type nice guy characters than it is to play that type of character you want to play. And that might be true, but that type of character often wins the Oscar. Rain Man, Elephant Man, you know, so you can understand why DiCaprio might be more interested in doing a stretchier role. And Octavia Spencer had the showier role, but I really think Viola Davis did a great job. But yeah, how could you be sad about losing to Meryl Streep? I mean,
yeah, I agree. I'm glad you said that about the 20,000. I did not even know that. That's a good little tidbit. The artist really cleared the board, though. I mean, really, with the best actor nod and also winning best picture and director. That was huge, wasn't it?
Right. And that one I got right. And you remember we talked about that months ago. I told you I thought that one would win all the way. And it's interesting because it doesn't seem to be getting a box office bump from it. Honestly, I thought The Artist would win the whole time. But really, to me, the best movie for me, and it's all subjective, but the best movie for me was War Horse. And it didn't get the, once you don't get the best directing nomination, it's very unlikely you're going to win the best picture. But I mean, there are a lot of people, I was talking to a lot of people who were upset that The Artist won, but that you know, like, and that John Desjardins won. I mean, and one of my friends said, well, how can you win if you don't speak? I mean, what kind of acting is that? But I think if you watch the movie, I think both the lead actors get the right emotion every single time. It's not like it's a silent film, but it's not like watching a film in the teens or the 20s with overacting and herky jerky movements and things like that. I mean, it's a modern film. It just happens to be have a gimmick, but I don't think that it wasn't real feelings up there on the screen. And I think I really thought it was a wonderful movie, but again, it's subjective. It's always interesting with the Oscars. I mean, you go back, like the movie The Best Years of Our Lives won in 1946. But how many people really remember that movie? I think what they really remember from that year is It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
It took years for It's a Wonderful Life to be appreciated. And you know, the same with Gentlemen's Agreement. I mean, it won in 1947. But I think the movie people remember from that year is Miracle on 34th Street. I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but one of my biggest disappointments was when The Departed won, because I thought Babel was way better and more ambitious.
And
that was a big disappointment for me. So obviously, that's the fun of it, though, is you have these subjective discussions about what the best picture is. From the very beginning of the Oscars, that's been the case.
Yeah. You said you'd give it a 7. You said you enjoyed the show. Did you like the whole theme about going to the movies and that thing?
Yes.
Do you think they pulled that off?
Yes, I'll tell you what. One thing I didn't like. I did, and a lot of people liked it. I guess Billy Crystal really liked it. I didn't like the Wizard of Oz focus group thing, because I personally thought it was like very condescending to movie audiences, saying, "Oh, if we listen to the public, look how stupid the public is with their opinions." I personally think the public oftentimes are ahead of Hollywood as to what's good and what's bad. So I personally didn't like that skit, but, to each their own.
Yeah, there you go. Stephen Schohead, he is the author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Great book, great storyteller. We can't wait to see what happens next week. We'll talk to you then.
You got it.
Thanks. Stephen, by the way, if you go to Hollywood, he is a tour guide. So he knows, when I say nooks and crannies on this show, he knows all the nooks and crannies in and around Hollywood. I mean, really, he can tell you all about the maps with the stars' houses and that kind of stuff and some of the cool things that have happened in Hollywood over the years, as you can tell even from that conversation there that we just had about the Oscars. And he always brings something, I think, interesting to the table, without a doubt. All right, speaking of bringing something interesting, coming up on the flip side here on America Tonight, boy, just such a sad story. I called it the Dover dumpster. And, what happened is you had pressure put on the Pentagon to answer some questions, thanks to a congressman from New Jersey, Rush Holt, who had one of the one of the women whose husband was killed in Iraq kept asking about remains, 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 finally approached his office, bombarded his office for answers, and Holt started to open up that door, and then look what they discovered ultimately. It's been a nightmare, a nightmare. More on that and a few other odds and ends as we head for the exits. Hang with us.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Get past the beat, forget past the shit, man.
So Arizona was a winner take all. Mitt Romney took Arizona, but it wasn't about Arizona, all the questions. It was Michigan, Michigan, Michigan. What happens if Santorum wins Michigan? What if Romney can't plant the flag of his family in Michigan and claim the delegates? Which, by the way, you don't get the delegates that way in Michigan. I think I explained that at the top of the show. So here we are, rounding that final twist. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great country and beyond the borders. Just wrapping it up a little bit with what happened in Michigan and Arizona before we dive into Dover and the remains and that really depressing story. So 29 delegates in Arizona, boom, they're in the pocket of Romney. He's got them in his pocket. He's off in Michigan doing a little jig. 28 of 30 delegates are based on congressional districts. That's how that flows there. Two delegates for each congressional district. One, that's how it works. Romney basically at the 157 mark. It's a long way to go. 1,144. Just remember that number, 1,144. Whoever gets there fast and furious, well, they get the nomination. Super Tuesday next week is a big darn deal. Why? Because it may end up being parceled out in a couple of different directions. Or does Romney just completely clear the board? If he did that, you're talking about close to 500 on Super Tuesday if you added up all of the various delegates that were possible to obtain. To me, the most disturbing story on the day, it's a big story that Romney escapes Michigan without a doubt, and the Republicans roll that show on. They pack up the tents and they move on down. But the Pentagon and the fact that they had an independent commission looking into what happened with the remains that were critical to people at Dover, to loved ones. And the fact that you had 9/11 victims' remains incinerated with medical waste and dumped in a landfill that way. Oh, I get it that we're talking about, you know, it's not a CSI episode, or maybe it is because you're talking about such teeny tiny things, fragments of bones. But I think if I were in that position, walking around with my heart in my mouth and my throat, which you would be, because it was still such a stunning thing. You're blindsided, all of us, by the attack, but you actually have somebody in your family tree taken out because of it. It's just human nature. You want a piece. You want something, ashes, something to bury, some kind of ceremony, something to mark, something. It's that bizarre closure thing that we all have a need for. And really, I think you're lying if you say you don't need closure. I've seen this time and time and time and time again, especially when it comes to something shocking and horrible like what happened on 9/11. So then this report comes out, and it's 86 pages long, and there's, I think in the first 20 pages, it's mentioned about the remains of the people on Flight 93. And they were cremated, but not retired at sea, which is what should happen now in the future. And since 2008, that is the name of the game. So thank goodness. This is why you do have a stake in what goes on with the government, and why I use that saying, power to the people, because you had a disgruntled woman, a wife, who was beside herself with grief and wanted to know why there were no remains of her husband. Why? The why question, bugging the crap out of Dover, getting the runaround from the Pentagon. And eventually this congressman starts to ask the questions because she was asking the questions and she bugged him, and it led to that independent commission. So thank goodness for that, at least. Or would we even know that this was happening? Then the answer is probably not. In fact, I would say there would be a great chance that we wouldn't know it was happening. And I think it's good to shed a light on this and figure out that, and obviously they did since 2008, to not let this happen. This is more than sloppy. More heads should roll, as I said in my conversation at the top of this hour with Victoria. More people should be held responsible. Some accountability, people. Some accountability when you're talking about something so close to one's heart. The people they love, right? All right, this is close to a lot of us. The Obama folks, we also mentioned this in the beginning, outlined the situation in which the FBI, rather than the military, would be allowed to retain custody of Al-Qaeda terrorist suspects who are not U.S. citizens, but who, let's face it, are arrested by federal law folks, right? The new rule, this is how it rolls, issued by the White House, came from that December compromise, and we forget about these things. I'm sure I know I have a notebook and I jotted it down, but I'm so focused on the other things, like all of us. This is one of those distraction deals. This came from that December compromise in Congress between the administration and a bunch of Republicans and some Democrats who wanted a bigger military role and a reduced role for civilian courts in the fight against terror. What does it mean? Here it is in a nutshell. Ready? This new law requires military custody, as I said, for non-U.S. citizens, members of Al-Qaeda or Taliban or whoever's associated, I'll throw out whatever, Hamas, somebody who's bad, who's a turned apple in Hamas, involved in planning or attempting an attack on the U.S. or any coalition partners. unless the president waives that provision. Military, civilian, you get it. Gitmo, not involved in Gitmo trials. Where are they going to be? Let's go to Tomas in Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
Well, changing the subject just a little bit, I did vote today. Voted for Ron Paul, one of the fantastic 11 or 12%, I don't know.
Yeah, it was 12%. Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, I think what hurt Santorum here was that all of a sudden he put out a robocall to Democrats. Okay, and Santorum is painting himself as somebody who is, you know, beyond any type of suspicion of any type of wrongdoing. He's Mr. Pure, Lily White, and shining in the cross of Jesus and all this. And all of a sudden, in a Republican primary, he's asking the Democrats to come in and help him. And Romney jumped all over that. And that's, you know, I think what lost the state for Santorum. And I think it really helped Romney's image as somebody who is somebody who stays calm in the midst of crisis. You know, this little Santorum came into his house and was throwing bombs at him and was hitting him hard. And you know what? Romney just stayed cool and just campaigned in Arizona and Grand Rapids and Michigan. He didn't lose his style of fighting. He kept jabbing and moving. And, you know, it got to the point where Santorum had to call in his own enemies, and that still didn't beat Romney. I think Romney came out looking solid. I think he's looking more solid now. And going to hurt Santorum in the debate. I don't know when the next debate is, but you can be sure that Romney is going to bring that up.
Well, this is the end of the debates. No more debates. This is it, because they kind of said no, they didn't want to do anymore unless something changes. There's not any more. There's no more debates that are scheduled.
No more debates?
No more debates, because they were saying no, they didn't want to. You know, this was that they were already had hit the number 20 club, and that was it. So unless, because, you know, they're always working them. They're always working it, trying to get them to agree to do another one. And because for the networks, you and I both know why they want them, because they get ratings. So that could change. But there's nothing slated right now.
Wow, that's surprising.
I know, it is surprising in a way, isn't it? Because we get used to it. 20 is a lot, though. 20 is, I'd have to go back. I want to go back and find this out. Nobody could answer this question for me. Have we ever had that many? And I think the answer is no. I don't think we've ever had 20. It's been crazy how many. But I agree with you. It'd be interesting, because when the news changes, things come up, that's what's addressed in the debates. That's what makes it also interesting.
Yes, I'm surprised that there's been surprised by the mother. You know, Newt Gingrich is going to. We'll see what after Super Tuesday, because if Gingrich comes up in the polls, and then Romney might need to debate him. But anyway, that's what happened here in Michigan.
Tomas, thanks. All right. Well said. He's right. Romney was very, very calm, but some people think that he's too cool for school, and that's part of the problem. That's why they don't like Mitt Romney. But he was being tossed a bunch of grenades, and he deftly, this time anyway, ducked them. Any thoughts on the show? Shoot them to me at americatonight.net.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone is now dumber for having listened to it.